Good morning. This always seems to come quicker than I want it to. How's everybody doing today? Once again, I'm always glad to come here and share God's word with you. I'm happy and delighted that you would all ask me back. And just thank you. Today I want to talk about desire. Getting kind of passionate about this because watching what's going on, not out there and so much in the world, but in the churches of Christ, we seem to have lost desire to do God's will. Before I get started, I'll just give you a couple quick definitions. One definition of desire is to long for or hope for. Another definition is a conscious impulse towards something that promises enjoyment or satisfaction in its attainment. Desire. Me as a husband and a father, one of my desires is for my family. I get up in the morning, I go to work, I provide for them. Sacrifice time, energy, and body. Because my desire is to see that my family is well fed, clothed, warm, and happy. And that's true. You know, it pleases me when I lay down at night to know that I went out there and made an honest living, paid my bills, taking care of my family. It's all great. You know, don't have to be rich. I'm just happy that we're satisfied and everything is going the way that it should go. That's my desire. That keeps me happy. That's what keeps me going as a husband and as a father. And I'm sure that every man and woman, every father and mother here feels the same way. And if you didn't, I would say family's going to be in a mess if you don't have that desire going into it. Anybody who doesn't have that desire as a family member, as a father, as a husband, probably shouldn't get into that because it takes a lot of love, it takes a lot of desire and determination to do it right. You know, no hills too high, no valley too deep when it comes to the family. And we do that what needs to be done without a second thought. And as I said before, I'm sure that every parent, every husband, every wife in here, I'm sure would feel the same way I do as far as that goes. But here I got a question for you. How strong is our desire to please the Lord? Think about it. Because see, what I'm talking about here is spiritual desire. You hear that word desire a lot of times and people think it's more of a personal. I'm talking about a spiritual desire. Not a desire to please self, but a desire to please God. And as I said before, if you look around today, some churches of Christ have lost their desire to please God in the way that pleases Him, the Lord. And instead, their desire is for self. If it makes me happy, it should make God happy too. It's what some are thinking must be with some people. Desiring to please self. Running rampant in the church these days. I read about it on the internet, and it surprises me that there are churches, members of the Church of Christ that would argue about the importance of baptism, and that is not that important. Would argue about a lot of other things that's going on in the church. Would even question it and call it, Church of Christ. Forgive me if I'm being too passionate about this, but like I said before, this is not a social club. God has done so much for us. I got a couple of verses that I would like to go over. The psalmist in Psalms 40 and 8 says, I desire to do your will, O my God. Not nobody else. He desires to do God's will. In Psalms 73 and 25, he says, whom have I in heaven but you? And being with you, I desire nothing on earth. I'm sorry for flipping through those real quick, but I did want us to turn to Psalms 119. I just want to give you examples of what, you know, these men have true desire, true spiritual desire. In Psalms 119, in verse 17, and I'm reading out the King James Version, it says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Talking about spiritual vision. "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times." Talking about that spiritual desire. And if we turn over again to Psalms 119 still, verse 129. It says, "Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doeth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments." Spiritual desire. Spiritually want to know, in a serious sense, what God would have him do so that he can keep those commandments because he loves the Lord so much. That's the attitude that we should have, that spiritual desire, the spiritual desire to learn, the spiritual desire to do what God's will is. In 1 Peter 2 and 2, Peter said we should desire the sincere milk of the word. Sincere milk. We should look and have a sincere heart when we're looking in the scriptures trying to figure out what God would have us do. Let's turn to Isaiah for a minute. Isaiah chapter 26. Again, I just want to give a few examples of some great men, great examples of spiritual desire. In chapter 26, right around verse 8, Isaiah says, "Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me I will seek thee early, and with thy judgments, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Again, having that desire. People in the church these days just don't have that desire anymore, it seems like, in a lot of ways. There are people within the churches of Christ who do have desire. My point is, there's not enough of them. There is a need for men and women who have true desire to please God and to do His will. You know, Jesus, let's talk about Jesus for a second. He came down to this lowly grounds from the glory up above. He was in heaven. And yet, pleasing His Father and for His love for us, He came down here, being obedient to His Father till the end. Because He had that desire to please His Father, to be obedient. He had that desire to give us a better way because He loved us. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, He says, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," says, "not my will, but your will be done." His desire was to please His Father. Our desire should be to please the Lord. Jesus came down here. As I said, sometimes people don't seem to get the full extent of that. He came down here from heaven for our benefit. He came down here and suffered for our benefit. in his desire and his love for us and his desire to be obedient to his Father. Churches of Christ are falling off the path that God, through his Son, has laid. No longer trusting God's word, God's pattern, or God's plan. No longer worshiping the way the Lord wants. No longer speaking his word, but watering it down so no one is offended. That's happening a lot these days. People are these days seem to be putting on concerts and other entertainment, looking for quantity instead of quality. Nowadays they're starting off with praise teams, women's song leaders. Again, talking about baptism is less important. And even one Church of Christ inviting a Baptist preacher to come in to preach a sermon for them. Where are we going? There's a war going on. And the Lord wants loyal soldiers whose desire is to please him and to do his will. That's what we need. We need more people like Paul. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 1 for 1 minute. Because this is Paul's attitude. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 20, according to my earnest expectations and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In verse 22, he says, But, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I am in a strait twixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful to you. Paul says, you know, it'd be great if I can go to heaven right now. Wonderful. But he also has a desire, a true desire, to make sure that the church is going the way that God wants it to go. He has a true desire to make sure he is steering people in the right direction. As long as he's going to be on this earth, Paul is saying, I'm going to serve the Lord. As long as he's going to be on earth, he's going to try to bring more people to. He's going to preach the way it should be preached. Selfless desire to do God's will. That's something that seems to be lacking these days. As I said before, this is not a social club. This isn't some place we go hang out on a Sunday morning just to, you know, say we did something and then go home for the rest of the week. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. Now, this is a very familiar verse. In 1 Timothy, it says in King James Version, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, I've heard men talk about desire. Well, I don't, you know, it says you got to have that desire. I remember when I was at East Main Street, and I was there for a while, and there was brothers there who qualified, and I urged them and urged them and urged them, and they said, well, you got to have the desire to do it. What kind of desire are we talking about here? Are we talking about personal desire? Or are we talking about spiritual desire to please God? If we are men of God, we should be trying to do whatever it is, whatever we qualify to do, to try to help please God, to try to further his word. This isn't a personal thing. Well, I don't desire to do that. That's a personal thing. And I guess if you're going to be that way, you probably shouldn't want to do it in the first place, because God wants spiritual desire. Not just any kind of desire for his word. We need leaders. People who are willing to do his will. Willing to stand up for his word. Not worrying about whose toes he steps on when they're talking about God's word. Telling the truth. Remembering that we are trying to save souls, not just trying to look good. That we have a duty as Christians, and, you know, we should be doing this out of gladness. God has already, we have been forgiven. Those of us blood-washed Christians, we have been forgiven. We have been given a gift that we cannot begin to repay. But we should have that love, we should have that happiness to want to go out and share that with others, to bring others into the fold too. We are one of God's children now. Need to get serious. Let's turn to Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, verse 9, it says, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. There's plenty of people willing to go around and preach God's word for selfish reasons. There are plenty of people that want to go around and use God's word for selfish reasons. We need good men to put a stop to that, because that's what's going on right now. We need men and women, as a matter of fact, who qualify to stand up, to have that boldness. Like I said, this is a war. It's always been here, but now it's creeped into the church, and it's creeped in, and it seems to be swallowing congregations up one by one. Church needs men who will teach sound doctrine. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, but speak thou these things. Well, let me start at verse 14, chapter 1. It says, because he goes on to tell Titus, not giving heed to Jewish fables or commandments of men that turn from the truth. And that's a lot of things that's going on in the church now. Commandments of man, not commandments of God, but commandments of man. You got people who are twisting God's word. You got people who are going beyond God's word. You got people who are taken away from God's word. But not giving heed to that stuff that turns you away from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and their conscience is defiled. It says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and to every good work reprobate. Then he goes on, verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and in charity, or love, and in patience. We have to teach this, and we have to live it. And we have to do this for our kids. We have to do this so that we can bring them up in the right way. We have to show the right example for them as well. And it also goes on to talk about the women. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chastened, keepers of the home, good and obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. As I said before, we need men and women who are strong in the faith, doing God's will according to His plan. Men do what God would have them do, and women do what God would have them do. We need to train up our children according to the Lord's proven ways, so that our sons will become men of God who qualify for leadership roles. And that's where we got to start now. You know, too many times we have a lot of men who come to the Lord, but they come to the Lord late. and they come to the Lord and they don't qualify to be leaders. We need to raise leaders in the church. We need to teach them how to be, and teach the daughters how to be wives of leaders. We have to start from the beginning. But we need to be more dedicated. We need to start doing this now. You know, there are plenty, and I mean there are plenty of people who are willing to go into that leadership role. Plenty of people. But they had the wrong desire. They had the desire of self. You got men who want to be elders, but they want to be elders because they like to see that word elder in front of their name. And they put it on their post, on all their mail, and they put a stamp, and they all this stuff. I'm an elder. I graduated. I qualified. I'm this. You got to listen to me now. That's not what God wants. God wants spiritual men. You got preachers who are in the Church of Christ now who won't even appoint elders because they don't want anybody over them. They're smart. Because they know a good elder who knows the scripture might be able to call them on it, might be able to sit them down. They don't want that. I had a preacher one time when I was preaching about when Paul was telling Titus that he wanted him there so that he could straighten things out and then he can ordain elders. And I was saying that in a church that didn't have elders. And one of the things I said is so that they could watch for the things coming through the doors, the wolves and the sheep's clothing. And also said because sometimes even a preacher needs to be sat down if he's preaching the wrong thing, if he's sitting up there going off script and saying something else. I got a call that night from that preacher who just, boy, we had a long conversation. How dare you sit up there and say elders are supposed to be over the preacher? How dare you sit up there and say that an elder can set a preacher down? Elders are the shepherds of the church, but elders aren't shepherds of the preacher. That's what's going on. That's what's happening right now. Slowly drifting us away. Slowly bringing these new things in. The older men, a lot of times, are being overruled and being, oh, you're old and you're this and you're that. You know, this is 2014. We got to bring people in another way. What happened to God's word? What happened to our trust in God's word? God told us to go out and preach his word. God told us to go out and tell people about him. We don't have to do no tricks. We don't have to sit up there and have big concerts and put posters all over the place to get people in the church. And then what? Then when the concerts go away, so do they. God's looking for quality. God wants people to hear his word. God wants them to make a conscious decision based on his word and his word alone. That's what needs to be preached. That's what needs to go on in the church. And unfortunately, it seems that that's not happening anymore. We need to raise these young women to be example to the other young women. Nowadays, parents are like, well, if I send them to school wearing that, they'll be talked about. You know, I grew up wearing nothing but hand-me-downs all my life when I was growing up as a kid, and I got talked about quite a bit. But I'm still here. Still here. No worse for wear. I don't have any psychological problems or anything like that. I made it. We need to teach them that God's way is more important than man's way. Don't worry about what's going on out there. Women's clothes, girls' clothes so tight these days, you gotta need pliers to take them off. And men, you don't even have to take their pants off because they're already down on their ankles. We need men to tell them, pull them pants up and be a man. Get a job while you're at it. Then go out and find a wife. Then have kids according to God's plan. That's what we need to do. But we're not doing that no more. We need to hold these young men to a higher standard. None of that go out and sow your wild oats. No, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says go out and get a job, get a house, then have a wife, then have kids. That's God's plan. That's the one we need to live by. And those of us who, you know, sometimes we made a mistake. They said, well, Mom, Dad, you didn't do that. That's right, I didn't. We were wrong. But we changed that. We're living right way now. We don't want you to go out there and learn from mistake, learn by accident. We want you to be these people now. You know, some of the things I've done in my life, and now that I'm a Christian, it disqualifies me from doing things. And I have to think about that all the time. I can't, you know. But we have an opportunity with these young people as, you know, to keep them on the right track so that when the time comes, they can be the leaders that we need in the church. Because like I said, we need good leaders. We need good, and like I said, we need good wives. We need good women to teach the young women. You know, it's a total package. It's a total package. So as I talk to you today, especially here, and I know I'm just preaching to the choir. That's why I like coming here. Resist change. God's word is good enough. Keep your trust in the Lord's word. Just go out and do what he asks you to do. Tell people about him. Live the right kind of life. You know, we was talking this morning a little bit about going out and telling people, but sometimes you tell people more with the way you live than whatever comes out of your mouth. Because if what coming out of your mouth isn't the same way you're living, then you just lost them already anyway. Just do what God would have us do. Don't worry about the numbers. The right number will come. The right number. This congregation may not get any bigger than what it is, but the right number is here. Quality people. The people who are here because of God's word, not because of anything else. That's what we want. Spiritual desire is what I'm talking about. Spiritual desire. Our desire should be to please the Lord. He does so much for us each and every day. Each and every day. I'm sorry. But each and every day we wake up in the morning. And I know we was talking about this morning, two people giving God the praise for everything. But each and every day we wake up in the morning. You didn't do that. God did that. The job you got, God. Food you eat, God. Everything about the air you breathe comes from God. And he loves us so much that he just doesn't turn it off. Because if he did, we'd all just think about it, please. Those of us who may not have been living that way or, you know, on the fence or whatever, please change your ways. Read God's word. Do what the Lord says. Those who aren't baptized members, you got to be obedient first. You got to do as the Lord says. You got to have those sins washed away after hearing God's word and being convinced in your own heart that this is the way to go. That I'm going to stop doing all of these things that I was doing before and I'm going to start doing what the Lord would have me do. Confess his name. Be baptized and live according to God's word. That's all he asks. So please, just consider the things that I say today as we all stand and we sing the song that was selected.